February 7, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. The Discipline of Dejection. But we trusted. And beside all this, today is the third day. Luke 24:21. Every fact that the disciples stated was right, but the inferences they drew from these facts were wrong. Anything that savors of dejection spiritually is always wrong. If depression and oppression visit me, I am to blame. God is not, nor is anyone else. Dejection springs from one of two sources. I have either satisfied a lust, or I have not. Lust means I must have it all, I must have it at once. Spiritual lust makes me demand an answer from God, instead of seeking God who gives the answer. What have I been trusting God would do? And today, the immediate present, is the third day, and he has not done it. Therefore, I imagine I am justified in being dejected and in blaming God. Whenever the insistence is on the point that God answers prayer, we are off the track. The meaning of prayer is that we get hold of God, not of the answer. It is impossible to be well physically and to be dejected. Dejection is a sign of sickness, and the same thing is true spiritually. Dejection spiritually is wrong, and we are always to blame for it. We look for visions from heaven, for earthquakes and thunders of God's power. The fact that we are dejected proves that we do. And we never dream all the time God is in the commonplace things and people around us. If we will do the duty that lies nearest, we shall see him. One of the most amazing revelations of God comes when we learn that it is in the commonplace things that the deity of Jesus Christ is realized. It's the end of Oswald's text. It truly is in the commonplace things that Christ is either realized or not, that Christ is either glorified or not. It is not in the dramatic and grandiose things that God is glorified. It is how we respond in the little things. When you look at your Christian walk and you look at your relationship with those around you, beginning with the most intimate ones, your spouse, your children, your immediate family, your extended family, and on down until you get to those who would be your enemy, what is your manner of treating those who are not yourself? The ultimate test of one's closeness to God is how he views and treats his enemy. As Jesus breathed his last on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And he said this about not only his enemies, but those who had actually insisted upon his crucifixion when he deserved no such end. As Oswald speaks in the text, he's speaking also about how we respond to God and whether we are satisfied or disappointed in what God is doing. The only reason I am ever disappointed in God is when my expectation of him is incorrect. God is sovereign, and God will have his way, and God wants to allow me the privilege and the blessing of participating with him as he brings people into his kingdom and as he brings glory to himself. He wants me right up close and personal. He wants me in a front row seat. The unfortunate part is that most of the time when I'm trying to serve God, I want to be in the front row seat, but I actually want to be up on stage, on the front line of the stage. I want to be the one who receives the applause for all the great things that happen for the kingdom of God because of my great service and abilities to serve God. And that is where the fracture occurs. Our relationship with God is not going to be intimate ever if my agenda and my affirmation and my satisfaction is the first part. But rather, I should turn the paradigm around, and I should always want for him to receive the glory, for him to be up front and me to be in the back. Whenever I'm interested, even in the slightest bit, in any recognition for what I am doing, either for the kingdom of God or in any other walk of humanity, I am not connected to God. I am rather connected to myself. The ultimate in salvation is complete connectedness to God and an absolute abandon of myself to the glory of God and to his purposes.